Now, it's very easy to look at a scripture like the one that I read from Hebrews 7 and just sort of put it away, sort of say, well, that's too deep for me. And I'm really not interested in getting into all these particulars and so forth about the priesthood and Melchizedek and the new covenant and this sort of thing. Well, to be perfectly honest with you, any portion of the Word of God that has to do with redemption by grace is too deep for an unbeliever. A natural man. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him. And neither can he know them because they're spiritually understood, discerned, judged. But any part of God's word dealing with the redemptive work of Christ, his priestly work, his intercession, is clear and plain as the Spirit of God gives the believer understanding. So, this is not that deep. It's all profound. It's all a mystery. It's past human natural understanding. But I believe when I get through here tonight, if you have some understanding of substitution, of God's holiness, our sin, our need of a mediator, our need of a great high priest, that you'll have a stronger and better hope of eternal life through Christ. You'll have a better understanding of how you, a wretched, fallen, depraved son of Adam, redeemed by the blood of Christ, have the privilege and liberty of coming boldly into the very holiest of all, before the very throne of God, to receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. And I'm hopeful that you'll give it your undivided attention. I believe it'll help you with your assurance. Assurance of a saving interest in Christ. Now, let me say this first of all. The tabernacle in the wilderness, the Holy of Holies, the holy place, the veil, the priesthood, the blood sacrifice, all of the sacrifices, the atonement in particular, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the whole system of the Old Testament priesthood declares one solemn truth that we need to understand. All of this, whether it be the tabernacle or the sacrifices, the atonement, whether it be the priesthood, the Levitical law, these types and ceremonies, they declare one solemn truth that needs to be understood, it needs to be declared, and that is this, that there must be a suitable priest and there must be an acceptable sacrifice in order for any son of Adam to come into the presence of a holy God. There's got to be. Absolutely no man or woman born of woman will ever, has ever, will ever deal directly with a holy God. Now, a moment ago, Bill stood up here and prayed. He said, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And it sounded like that Bill and the eternal Father, Lord of heaven and earth, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It sounded as if Bill was approaching the presence of an absolute, eternal, omnipotent, living, holy God. And Bill was presenting his thanksgiving and praise and petitions and prayer directly to God. In a sense, he was. But I guarantee you, he'd have been snuffed out and annihilated with no hope of eternal blessings if it hadn't been for the mercy and the grace and the blood and the presence of our great high priest. Now, our prayers are just so much rotten, stinking corruption, the best one of them apart from Christ. Now, you've got to learn this. We've got to see this. And I don't think, actually, listen to me again, absolutely no man or woman born of woman will ever, born from Adam, will ever deal directly with a holy God without a priest with a proper, suitable sacrifice between God the Father and that sinner. And that priest has always been there, whether in type or in person. He's always been there. Christ has always been there. When Abel came to worship God, and this is the first illustration we have of a sinner worshiping. I think it's the first illustration that Adam and Eve sinned, and God put them out of the garden, and it said Adam knew his wife, and there was born a son, Cain, and another son, Abel, and then the two boys came to worship. Abel came to worship God, and he was accepted, and God did business with Abel. Abel was accepted, but Christ was present right there in the picture, in the lamb, in the blood. Christ was there. The atonement was there. The priest was there. The intercessor was there. It was all right there. And down in Egypt, when God said, I'll pass over you, when he came through Egypt at midnight and struck the firstborn dead in every home, Christ was between God and those sinners. The blood was on the door. Here was a holy God dealing in judgment and wrath with a rebellious world. And there were sinners, unclean sons of Adam. But between that sinner and God was Christ. Christ in picture. Christ in type. You see what I'm saying? And the same thing's true of the tabernacle. When the great high priest came under the veil into the Holy of Holies and put the blood on the mercy seat, the atonement, once a year, and waved the incense, you know, burned the incense. And God, in his absolute infinite holiness, was there. The Shekinah glory was there between the cherubims, overshadowing the mercy seat, the power and glory, the absolute glory of God. And here was the sinner. Here was the man representing the people. There was Christ in picture, in type, always. Always and always and always. And this we must see. We must see that, no, God does not hear any man apart from Christ. God does not receive any man apart from Christ. God does not forgive any man apart from Christ. God does not receive even the most solemn worship apart from Christ. And now if we see that, we must see it. Turn to Hebrews 4 a moment. Now, we must see this. It's essential that we see it. It's essential that we have some kind of heart conception of it, some kind of heart understanding of it. It's essential, absolutely essential. Not that we see it in doctrine, but that we understand it at least to some degree in our hearts. Hebrews 4, verse 14, listen. Seeing then, seeing, understanding, discerning. You see that word seeing then, understanding, that we have a great high priest. We do have a high priest. Right now we have that is passed into the heavens, not into the tabernacle made with hands, into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We got a reason to hold it fast. We got a reason to have a profession. We've got a reason to hope through that profession. Because we see, understand, discern, we have a high priest. You see what I'm saying? If you don't see that, you don't have a profession. You don't have a hope of a profession. Read on. We don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Why? Seeing we have a high priest. Now don't you come if you don't have one. And don't you come if you don't have one that's God's one. God's one. Now, the Mormons have priests, don't they, Tom? Catholics have priests. And all these different folks have folks dressed up in funny hats and all kind of uniforms and so forth. And that's not the priest he's talking about here. We have a high priest that's passed into the heavens. He's not ministering here in a building or a tabernacle or a temple or a cathedral or a so-called holy place sprinkling water. That's all been done. We have a great high priest who's passed into the heavens. And seeing that, let us therefore, verse 16, come boldly unto the throne. The throne. It's a sovereign throne of grace. God's throne. Just one throne. Just one throne of grace. And that's God's throne. That we may obtain mercy through that great high priest and find grace to help in time of need. Turn to Hebrews 10. Now, you've got to get a hold of this. This is foundation truth. This is rock bed truth. This is what you build on. This is what you hope for upon. This is what you build your hope upon right here. Hebrews 10, verse 21. Verse 21. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Verse 19. Having boldness, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Come on. But I tell you, I don't care who the preacher is, the evangelist, I don't care who the missionary is, it invites any sinners. God is now a God of love, and God is a God of mercy. Come on. I'm sorry, that's not so. Not apart from Christ. Christ said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I'm the door. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And all this back in the Old Testament points the way. All this back here is a picture. It's a type. It's a shadow of things to come. And we better go to school. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. We better go to school here and find out, how did Israel come to God? That's the way we come to God too. How did Abraham come to God? That's the way you come to God. He's same God. How did Abel come to God? Same way you come to God. Back there, the high priest was between the holy God and the sinner in picture, in type, in promise. And he recognized it. And now the high priest is between us and God in reality, having finished his work. But he's there. He's always there. And God's never spoken to or been spoken to. God's never dealt with or been dealt with by any sinner apart from and except through the person, the priesthood, the sacrifice, the atonement, the blood of the Son of God. He's ever present and ever living. If he's not there, you are a doomed branch fit for the burning. You're wasting your breath, your time, your prayers, your religion, your efforts, your works, your money, everything you're donating to the cause without Christ. All right, let me show you these things now. Here's another fact. Watch this. Here's another fact. You say, well, I care for Melchizedek. You better care for Melchizedek. Ye must be born again in the Bible one time. John chapter 3. One time. Let me show you how many times Melchizedek's in here. Now, this is just talking about Melchizedek. Psalm 110. Let's turn over there a minute. Psalm 110. And many people don't even know who he is. They don't even know who he is. They'll argue with you about whether he's supposed to eat in the church or not, but they don't know who Melchizedek is. They'll argue with you whether or not to take alien immersion or not. They don't know who Melchizedek is. They'll argue with you about the premillennial or postmillennial. They don't know who Melchizedek is. God have mercy on our souls. We're major known minors. Who is Melchizedek? All right, Psalm 110, verse 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. How many times you ever hear in the Bible God swearing about something and not changing? Not many times. This is one of them. God, this is God's primary glory right here. This is where he's most acutely at work right here. This is where God is most sensitive right here. He has sworn and will not change. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Turn with me to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. And we've got to learn something about this. Hebrews 5, look at verse 6. Verse 6. Well, let's read verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest. He didn't take this thing on himself. But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. He said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's who you are. You're a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now look at Hebrews 5, verse 10. Verse 9 says, And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Boy, that's what I'm interested in now. aren't you? Unto all them that obey him. And he's called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That's three times already. All right, look at Hebrews 6, verse 20. It says here in verse 19, which hope we have is an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. That's where I want to do business, inside the veil. I'm tired of running around out here outside the veil, aren't you? Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Four times. All right, Hebrews 7, 17. He testifieth thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Five times. Hebrews 7, 21. Those priests were made without an oath. But this priest with an oath by him that said, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Six times. Don't you think, now really, don't you think, and how many sermons you have heard on this subject? It looks like preachers would wear this out, doesn't it? It just looks like that they would dwell here and dwell here and dwell here, but they don't, and I think I know why. But the book of Hebrews, now watch this, the book of Hebrews declares the greatness and glory of Christ. If you want a key to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is one of the best gospel books in the Bible. One of the clearest, one of the most beautiful. And the book of Hebrews, all the way through, declares the greatness, this is the key, and the glory of Christ over the angels, over Moses, over the prophets, over the tabernacle, over the Levitical law, over the sacrifices, over Aaron, and here, over the ceremonial priest. The fulfillment. Christ, the fulfillment of everything that's written. Christ, the fulfillment of everything promised. Christ, the fulfillment. You can take the book of Hebrews and go from the time that God created the world to this present day, and it'll show you Christ in every bit of it. Christ in his creation, in God's original creation, Christ was the key to the whole thing. In his purpose to redeem, in a revelation of himself, his attributes, how that Christ is the fulfillment of Moses' prophetical office, Aaron's priesthood, and David's kingship. Christ is all and in all. And here's what we're seeing here in Hebrews 7. Here's what we're seeing here. And it shows how Christ is greater than the angels. Christ is greater than Moses. Christ is greater than the prophets. Christ is greater and more glorious than all things. And here, watch this. He is so infinitely above the Aaronic priesthood. He is so infinitely, get this now, this is important. Christ's priesthood and Christ's sacrifice and Christ's intercession is so infinitely above this priesthood of Aaron and the sons of Levi that the Lord is pleased to establish one certain true priestly type of Christ outside of Aaron and the priesthood. The Lord God is pleased to take, because Christ is so infinitely above this priesthood, this earthly priesthood, that he singles out and creates a perfect type of Christ above and beyond this priesthood. That's what he's doing with Melchizedek. Now, here's the question, who is Melchizedek? Well, let's look at Hebrews 7, 1 through 3. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. All right, let's go back to Genesis 14 briefly. Genesis 14. And I know somebody said just then, you've never been briefly in your life. Well, I dropped that in to wake you up, but I'm going to try to be briefly. All right, here's the only time in the Bible, the only time we meet with Melchizedek. He makes an appearance and disappears. Never again. He's talked about, but he never appears again. He appeared one time, that's it. You remember these wicked kings had come down and captured Lot, Abraham's nephew, and all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and taken them captive. And Abraham got a bunch of men and he went after them. And he rescued them. And he brought them back. And that's where we are in Genesis 14, verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet Abraham after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. Now watch this, verse 18. And Melchizedek, first time he's mentioned, king of peace, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed Abraham. And he said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hands. And Abraham gave him tithes of all he had, a tribute. And that's it. And that's it. We have no record of his mother, his father, his nation, no record of his birth, his life, or his death. But this is said about him in Hebrews 7. Now go back to Hebrews 7. Now you with me? That's the only appearance. He met Abraham, to whom God had given the promises. He met Abraham, who was the father of the faithful. He met Abraham, who was God's chosen father of the Jewish nation, father of the seed, which is to be blessed through him. And this man Melchizedek met him, this high priest of the living God, and blessed him. And Abraham gave tithes to him. He disappeared. It says in verse 2 of Hebrews 7, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, without pedigree, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now some say this was an appearance of Christ. I wouldn't make it a point to argue about this. I wouldn't make it a point to divide over it. I've read several commentaries, and some say it was a real person who lived on this earth and so forth and so on. Christ is a real person too, but they say it's a human person. But I kind of think it was Christ who appeared to it. Christ. But the main point is this. The main point is here. That the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ is so infinitely and eternally above that of Aaron, that in order for God to show us the priesthood of Christ, its sufficiency and its power and its eternality, that Almighty God gave us an appearance of the priest himself when he met Abraham. I believe that's what he said. Look at Hebrews 7, 23 to 25. Now watch this. These Old Testament priests, there were many of them. Verse 23 says, and there were many of them, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth. He always has lived. He lives now. He always will live to make intercession for them. So this is what he's saying. That in order to illustrate for us the priestly work of Christ, the priestly office of Christ, its eternality, its unchangeableness. Aaron couldn't effectively illustrate it. The sons of Levi couldn't effectively illustrate it. They were men who were born of woman, had sin, infirmity, and died. They had a short priesthood. Their place was taken by someone else, and they couldn't effectively picture Christ. So here when Abraham, to whom God gave the promise of blessing the nation, when he came back from the slaughter of the kings, there met him Melchizedek. And Melchizedek blessed him. Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. That's a picture of the Lord's table. Melchizedek didn't meet him with an animal sacrifice. He met him with bread and wine and blessed him. And Abraham gave tenth of everything or tribute to him, and Melchizedek disappeared. And Paul picks this thing up and goes right on picturing it. Now let's see the next thing in verse 4, the greatness of Melchizedek. Now watch this. Now consider, first of all, we considered who he is. King of righteousness, king of Salem, king of peace, without mother, father, beginning of days, end of life, so forth. Now consider, he said, how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tribute or the tenth of the spoil. Now verily, they that of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. In other words, it says here, the people of Israel paid tithes to the sons of Levi. The people of Israel. They came out of the loins of Adam, of Abraham, and so did these priests. But these priests were commissioned to represent them to God, so they took tribute from the people, and they blessed the people. Are you with me? That's what he's saying here. These priests were ordinary men who were born from the loins of Adam. These people were ordinary people born, or Abraham, born from the loins of Abraham. But because of their designation as priests of God, these people paid tribute to them, and these priests blessed these people. All right, now notice the next verse. But he whose descent is not counted from them, that is Melchizedek, he received tithes of Abraham himself. And he blessed Abraham who had the promises. And without contradiction, the less is blessed of the greater. Here's what he's saying. The people paid tithes to the sons of Levi, these priests, and they blessed them. The priests came from Abraham, who blessed them. Jacob blessed the 12 sons. Abraham blessed Jacob. But here he's saying Melchizedek blessed them all. He blessed Abraham. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Abraham who had the promises. Abraham from whom the priest came. Melchizedek blessed him. See what he's doing? He's showing you the greatness. That's what he said in verse 4. Now consider how great this man was. That's what he's saying. Now consider how great. How infinitely great. And here you take down here the people of the special chosen people. The special designated priesthood. The special designate Aaron, and then you've got Abraham, and over all of them is Melchizedek, king of righteousness, who blessed them all. Because the less is always blessed to the better. And here, men that die, these priests receive tithes. But there, he of whom it is witnessed that he liveth, and as I may say so, Levi also, who received tithes, he paid tithes tribute to Melchizedek. For when Abraham met Melchizedek, Levi was in his loins. And the whole shooting match paid tribute to Melchizedek. They all paid tribute to Melchizedek. All right, now verse 11. Let's see what Melchizedek's appearance teaches us. Now this, I'm trying to bring this down to where we live. You know who Melchizedek is. And then he shows his greatness above all. Above the tabernacle and above the sacrifices and above the earthly priesthood, above Abraham. The less is always blessed to the better. And Melchizedek blessed them all. Now therefore, verse 11. If therefore salvation, perfection, redemption were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? In other words, if salvation, redemption could be obtained, if acceptance with God could be obtained by laws and deeds and works through these priests and through their forgiveness, and you have the same thing going on today. You have people coming into a booth and confessing their sins, and a man puts water on them or gives them wine and a wafer and goes, if perfection can be attained. And they did this in the Old Testament. Same thing. They went through the sacrifices and the priesthood and all these things. If salvation, acceptance with God, can be obtained through all of this ritualism and these sacrifices and this praying and burning of incense and sprinkling of water and all of this thing, then why was it necessary that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not even from these fellows? Why? Well, he said in verse 12, the priesthood being changed, there's necessity of change also of the law. For he of whom these things were spoken, the Lord Jesus Christ, came from another tribe. He came from the tribe of Judah. And from the tribe of Judah, nobody ever gave attendance at the altar. It is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Here's what he's saying to us. It's evident to me from the scriptures, from the failure of the Levitical priesthood, from the presence of a priest like Melchizedek, that the old law is so counseled, so put away, that when God made his son a priest, he wouldn't even let him be from the tribe of Levi. He picked him from the tribe of Judah. Going to change the whole thing. The whole thing. This was, this Levitical law and Levitical priesthood is nothing but a picture, and it's not even a good picture. I shouldn't say it that way, but it's really not. It's so infinitely beneath him. He's so infinitely above it that Almighty God just picked another picture altogether. Melchizedek brought him out of nowhere and set him down in front of Abraham and gave us a picture of the priesthood of Christ. And when our Lord Jesus Christ came into this earth, into this world, upon this earth, to show how the old Levitical law was disannulled, that it was taken away, that the new covenant was established with an eternal priesthood, Christ wasn't even born of the tribe of Levi, he was born of the tribe of Judah, and no priest had ever come to the tribe of Judah. No priest ever. And look at verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect. Turn to Hebrews 10. Let me show you something here. You say, well, why did they offer those sacrifices? Why did they go through those ceremonies? Why did they keep those feast days? They were pictures of Christ and his work. That's all they were. They were pictures. Verse 1 of chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow. And my friends, a shadow is an image that precedes the reality or the substance. I stand here and the light's behind me. There's my shadow. The shadow can give you my form, sort of an image of what I'm like. But when I come in, I don't need a shadow. You have the person. And he says the law is a shadow of good things to come, Christ who is to come. And not the very image of those things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? If you could bring a sacrifice in the hands of a priest that would effectually save a sinner and put sin away, you wouldn't need to bring another one. For sin purged is sin purged. Sin forgiven is sin forgiven. That's what he's saying. Because the worshipers once purged, and last Sunday night I preached on he himself, by himself, purged our sins. And the worshipers once purged would have no more conscience of sin. No more. But in those sacrifices, in that priesthood, there's a remembrance, there's a reminder made of sins every year, it's still there. This priesthood won't put it away, this blood of animals won't put it away, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, Christ is talking about, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. No more. Christ didn't go into the temple. Christ didn't take any animal blood. Christ, this great high priest, brought bread and wine. He said, my body is the bread and my blood's the wine. But the wine is my blood. See what I'm talking about? Christ didn't come into this old tabernacle down here on the earth and offer a sacrifice. He offered his own body. He burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. God has had no pleasure. God has had no satisfaction. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. All the way through this book it's written to me to do your will. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will. He taketh away the law. He taketh away the Levitical law. He taketh away the Levitical priesthood. He taketh away the sacrifices, the first, and establishes the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. Now watch this. And this is what he's saying in the rest of chapter 7. All these priests, and there were many of them. There were many priests. Christ only one. There were many of them. Every priest standeth. They always stood. There wasn't a chair in the tabernacle. They never finished their work. They stand daily. They had the morning, noon, and evening sacrifice. Next day, same thing, daily. Ministering offering offer times, the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. I go back to Hebrews 4 a moment. All right, he says in verse 21, verse 19, I read, the law made nothing perfect but the bringing in of a better hope, that is Christ and his sacrifice. He made some things perfect. He perfected forever them that are sanctified. The law made nothing perfect. Christ made us perfect, by the which we draw nigh to God, by Christ. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made a priest, and these Old Testament priests were made without an oath, but this priest with an oath by him that said, you're not a priest like Aaron. There were many of them, you're one. They were frail men with infirmities, you're perfect. They offered animal sacrifice, you offer yourself. They ministered in a tabernacle made with hands, Christ in heaven itself. Their sacrifices could never put away sin, yours does. They died. They had a short priesthood and died. You ever live. You see, they couldn't represent Christ effectively. Verse 23, and this there truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Does that help you? I hope that's helpful. And that's the reason I say, if in closing, if we can see this, if we can see the person of Christ, the glory of Christ, the effectual, sufficient work of Christ, the ever present intercession of Christ, that God is reconciled to me through Christ, that he hears me, my very existence is permitted because of Christ, every blessing is because of Christ. You see, there's no way I can touch God, communicate with God, there's no way that God can suffer me to even call his name because of my sin. In the flesh, no man can please God. But we have a living, eternal high priest from eternity to eternity. And it's not... And what he's saying here in Hebrews 7 is this priesthood of the sons of Levi and Aaron, it just couldn't effectively picture the work of Christ. And so many reasons. These men, many of them, they lived, they died, they had infirmities, they went through a ritual, they had animal blood, and all these things. And it just so God... Right here in Genesis 14, in the early days of the Word, he brought out Melchizedek. Who's Melchizedek? Without beginning or end, without mother or father, having no pedigree, an eternal priesthood, Son of God. That's my priest. And all the mechanics of religion won't do. I've got to have him. Seeing we have a high priest over the house of God, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. I hope it's been helpful. And go back and read it again. And I've got a Sunday school lesson on that Hebrews 7 that I'd love for you to get out of your files and read it again on that. Because I do say, I really believe, Ron, if we get a hold of that right there, if we can get a hold of the Melchizedek, picture of Christ, I just believe it make all the difference in the world, in our assurance, in our prayers, in our worship, in our confidence, in our message, in everything. Because it's a perfect picture of our Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, for your word, we thank you. How beautiful is thy word, and how complete, and how rich, and what a unit. All the way through, we see the unity of the Word, that the Word is one, without contradiction, and how you've pictured for us all the way through the Word, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our prophet, priest, and king. He is our atonement, our sacrifice, our sin offering. He is our surety, our savior, our substitute. He's all things. Our creator and our king. Our Lord, our Messiah, our master. Everything's in Christ. All and in all. In Christ is neither male nor female, Jew nor Gentile, circumcision nor uncircumcision. But Christ is all and in all. And if we can honor the Son and believe on the Son and look to the Son and rest in the Son and build upon Christ and have Christ by the power of thy Spirit revealed to our hearts. You promised he that hath the Son hath life. So reveal Christ to us. Make this message a blessing. Use it for whatever it pleaseth thee. For the glory of Christ we pray. Amen.